gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapper and I'm delighted to be joined by three-time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening, Oliver?
I'd be great if my team wins.
And we're also delighted to be joined by wrestling journalist Stephen Jackson.
Thanks for having me this evening, Chris, and I'm great, thank you.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us again.
That's all right.
Have you been since we last spoke?
I've been good. Yeah, I've been good. I've got some more things in the pipeline for the wrestling estate and for Brit Wrestle Chat, and been looking at some more exclusive interviews and things, and been writing some more stuff up, just sort of going through the editing stages. But yeah, I've been great, and been enjoying the nice weather we've had, along with the stormy weather as well.
Yeah. I'm a bit knackered. 4 o'clock this morning, my 14-year-old came knocking on the door again. There's a frog in my room. I said, "Is there a frog in your room?" When we went in the room, there's a bat on the floor, and then it's on flying. So it took us like 45 minutes to catch this bat.
Have you not seen that episode of Scrubs?
I haven't seen Scrubs for years.
When Turk goes in with the bat.
Oh, no. I probably have, but I haven't watched it for years. But I've been knackered all day. It took me ages to get back to sleep, and then I was up at 6 for work. So. Yeah, but also... huge thanks to anyone who listened to my 4-year-old predicting King of the Ring. It's had like 70 listens. He's so happy. That's just.
As if Baron Corbin wins, I think I'm going to give up on WWE. Who did he predict? Because I don't think I'll listen to it.
He predicted Apollo Crews.
Oh,
okay. No, I don't think we've got a. Oh, I forgot the paper. Was it Peter the Octopus? It was the World Cup Octopus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. We don't quite have one of those.
No.
Maybe someday, though. We are getting more popular.
Yeah. We have a partnership of Wrestling Resurgence, a great promotion based out of Leicester. They have a upcoming show on the 31st of August, which is a double main event, where Resurgence champion Gene Money goes against Chris Brooks. It's going to be an amazing match.
It will be.
Yeah, and then they have an Iron Woman match between Kanji and Charlie Evans. Both two of the most underrated. Two of the most underrated women and rising women stars in Britain. On Friday, we release our interview with Kanji, where she promotes the event. She was so lovely, really fun to talk to. So it's a really fun interview. To get 15% off Resurgent merchandise and tickets for their upcoming shows, use the promo code BROKEN15. The link to the store will be in the description below this podcast. But anyway, I think there's only one place to start. WWE have announced that NXT will be joining the USA Network. The first show is set for Wednesday, 18th September, and it's been announced that it'll be a 2-hour show.
The joys. More wrestling. More WWE content.
Is this the beginning of the end for the network?
I'd say, according to the article I read today, it will still be on the network, just that it'll be shown on Thursdays instead of Wednesdays.
Have they said it's live as well? Did I catch that? Is it going to be live NXT or is it still taped?
That's a good point.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
It makes sense given you've got SmackDown Live, you've got Raw Live, you got NXT Live, you've got 205 Live.
I think they're just going to incorporate 205 Live into NXT so then it'll make it 2 hours. Easily done.
So. I think it's got to go live because it'll go up against AEW, won't it?
Yeah,
I guess so.
It's got to be live.
Yeah, so WWE has ensured that NXT will remain a staple of the WWE network by making the weekly show available every Thursday at 8 and keeping NXT specials will also be on the streaming service.
Okay.
Do you think
not the end of the network then?
No. Do you think Vince will get a little hands on it, or do you think It'll still be Triple H's baby with it being on the USA Network.
I think the second hour is going to really, really be interesting because sometimes they're struggling to get an hour out of it. I mean, it's, if you look at the network and stuff, you got 45 minutes one week, 50, 55. They've got the people in the performance centre that they could bring onto the roster and stuff. And obviously,
I'm sure I read there's over 100 wrestlers in the performance centre at the moment who haven't been on TV yet.
Did I hear that right? So they've got 100 wrestlers there who are doing live events who they haven't actually got on TV.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I'm sure I read that. If you do the whole WWE roster, it's like 220 wrestlers or something.
But the one thing that they do have going for it, and I was saying this to Mark off Mark Fox from Grapple Arcade, is that this breakout tournament.
Is like
under the radar as one of the best tournaments of the year. I thought that was superb. The only thing is I would have gone with Cameron Grimes as the winner.
Especially
when he beat Bronson Reed. When he beat him, he's 320 pounds. It's like he needs to win this tournament.
Yeah.
So I wasn't 100% behind Jordan Miles.
I'm not too keen on ACH's new smiley character. He's so cool on the indies. I don't think it's enough to just bring people and go, oh, look, he's athletic, he's a baby face. And I think he needs a better move than the 450 splash as a finisher. There's been so many athletic guys with that finisher.
Anyway.
He'd probably make a great tag team with Apollo Crews if he gets called up to the main roster. two smiley guys who are extremely athletic.
Yeah.
Tag balls on them. Not do anything else. Apollo Crews for me is like, I'm not sure what else he has to do. Maybe he's probably a little bit smaller and stuff, but this guy's, 240 pounds and he wrestles like a cruiserweight?
Yes, definitely.
And I understand why your son picked him as the King of the Ring winner. Because he kind of needs... It's never going to happen.
No.
You know, apologies to your son, but... it's never going to happen.
He probably picked him because he got him as a figure a couple of weeks ago. That's probably the only reason he picked him.
There you go. But, the King of the Ring was the boost to somebody's career. So, people who need the boost should be looking to be King of the Ring, really, to get to the next, upper echelon kind of thing. And Apollo Crews has got everything. And if people say from like a talking perspective or what have you, but you kind of have to, get your talking chops by, experience over the years and stuff, just put a manager with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's got all the tools to be somebody in WWE. I know that's completely off topic, but just wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Hi, this is the Asian Sensation Kanji, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious.
We didn't get a chance to mention it last week, but Kazuo Ibushi has become the first man to win the New Japan Cup, Best of the Super Juniors and the G1, following his win over Jay White. Oliver, are you happy with Ibushi winning?
Yeah, it's just taken him a year longer.
Yeah, we
liked us entirely.
Yeah, it was a perfect story last year with him and Omega.
That's what they should have done.
Absolutely shocking. I was watching the G1 last year, and Juice Robinson was amazing. And it's very, very difficult. Like we said earlier in the show, you get more wrestling added. Now the G1 is like,
It just goes on and it's everywhere. It's hard and hard.
19 days of pay per views, basically.
And you just have to kind of, you just focus on the matches. But even focusing on the matches, like Steven says, like watching the Olympics. So you're watching it through, and then all of a sudden you miss a day. and then you just miss a day and then 3 days.
I'll catch up with yourself.
And you want to catch up like Steven's saying and stuff. And then by the time the tournament's finished, you look at who the winner is. See if it's Tanahashi, and you think to yourself, why? Why was Tanahashi? You got Kota Ibushi jumping off balconies. He's the hottest property in the company. You got a ready-made storyline with Kenny Omega. Omega's going to lose the title to go to All Elite Wrestling or stay with Ring Runner or whatever. We wasn't quite sure at the time. You make it Omega versus Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom, and everything was there.
Yeah,
and definitely. They put it on Tanahashi, and I was like, this is a shoot. You know, Tanahashi's good, but
it was a safe option. That's the problem, and it's just that this is what we were saying last time when we were on the podcast about Ring of Honor World Champions, where it's just doing it a year too late or just not hitting the bullet at the right time, and that was one of the times
it's like what I'm hoping hasn't happened with Impact Wrestling is I really hope that they put Tessa Blanchard into the main event for Blame for Glory.
Yeah.
Because they were breaking down barriers in a huge way. And then they had the opportunity at Unbreakable with Sami Callihan against Tessa Blanchard to cement her as the new number one contender, regardless of gender or anything like that. And they just didn't do it. And I really think that was a huge mistake. Much like Ibushi not winning last year. It just feels like this has taken a year longer than it should have.
Yeah.
I mean, who's champion now? Ricardo? Exactly.
And it pissed me off that Jay, and I'm not meaning to jump in there, Oliver, but just so I can say on recording, but Jay White losing the champion, IWGP championship literally about 2 months after he won it in the Garden in the main event against Okada, it just made no sense. Like, you've got, again, a ready-made star as part of a market, the Australian and New Zealand market, which you can just put, you know, you can push because he's a New Zealand native, and it's like they've gone back to Okada again. And I didn't, and they wanted to break out into the West, New Japan, but yet they've still got Okada and the old guard of Okada and Tanahashi and Naito's kind of on the cusp where he should be there, but they don't want to put the trigger on him. But you've got like Okada and, you know, Tanahashi and Goto and all these guys. But that's what annoyed me the most, was that he'd worked his ass off from being a young lion, and then he's gone and lost it. And fair enough, it's not that he shouldn't have. They had a good match and everything, don't get me wrong, it wasn't amazing or anything, but you've got such a ready-made star there, and they've just gone and, you know, pulled the trigger too soon. But that's me going on my soapbox there.
I understand what you're saying there, Steve. In all honesty, for Jay White, I was having a chat with a wrestling friend of mine, Johnny Lee, and he was like, when he fought Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom, and I was like, oh, this character's wicked, the Switchblade, and he's like, it's too soon for him. And then even he kind of, you know, when Jay White become the IWGP champion, he was like, wow, what a turnaround.
Because the
Tanahashi match wasn't the best at Wrestle Kingdom. And all of a sudden he's the champion, but he's earned the right to be champion. I saw a YouTube thing last night when he was the US champion between him and Hangman Page. And in terms of like interview chops and stuff, he just owned this ring and this contract signing, and like the reporters were behind him, the fans, if they were there, were behind him, and it was just like, wow, where's this coming from? Because obviously Young Lion trying to make his way, US champion, because he'd be Kenny for it, didn't he?
Yeah.
For the US title.
Yeah.
And then obviously the IWGP champion, and it's kind of, I think New Japan kind of, puts the foot in it, in all honesty. It should have been Ibushi last year. I haven't watched New Japan since last year because that's how much it pissed me off. I'm being 100% legit. I haven't watched it. And it's just like, you've got the opportunity here And I even thought about Impact Wrestling and stuff with that much on behind Tessa Blanchard, that if they don't put Blue in, say, a triple threat match at Bound for Glory, then I don't know if I'll stick with that product either. And I like Impact Wrestling, but you've got to, you know, use your stars correctly.
Yeah.
And if you don't pull the trigger on it, and what we said last time with ROH, and I'm sure we'll say it this time with regards to the tag team champions, then by the time the tag team champions or just single champion, fans reject it.
Yeah.
And you've spent years building somebody up, and then because you haven't pulled the trigger, the fans are no longer interested in that person being champion. And some of the names that we weren't interested in being champion is ridiculous because of booking mistakes and errors that have been made across all different companies. There you go.
Braun Strowman.
That's me up my soapbox.
Like Braun Strowman last year, he should have won the title in Saudi Arabia. The whole story building up to it, and then they just give it back to Brock.
Yeah.
Well, that, with the Hell in the Cell as well, wasn't that Strowman against Reigns?
Yeah,
and then Lesnar came in. He should be champion. I don't understand why he isn't. You know, there's been rumblings about backstage and all this kind of stuff. And he's like, he's big, he's athletic. Him and the Big Show did moves that were on, you know, a Nintendo 64 game when they wrestled.
Yeah.
It's like, what else do you need to be champion? If this was the 80s. He'd be Hulk Hogan's adversary, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
So, you know. But I am enjoying the storyline with him and Seth Rollins. You know, hopefully that doesn't spoil anything for you guys. But that's quite interesting, in all honesty. You know, he wants the title. Rollins is aware of it. And when they have the match, I'm sure it'll be a good one.
Yeah.
And it could be a title change quite simply. I don't think they'll do it. I don't know why, but yeah, really, really big fan of Braun Strowman. I can't think of too many matches he's had that have been bad, really. You know, he had a fantastic match, Roadblock 2016, because I've always got to mention to my books, against Sami Zayn, where it's like 10 minutes you remember that, and 10 minutes for Zane to last the time.
Yeah.
And that was fantastic. And obviously he was in the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
And he's really built his physique. He's another one, much like Apollo Crews. It's just like, you know, you've got somebody here, probably even more so than Apollo Crews, because obviously his height and his weight and stuff. But, really want Braun Strowman to be the Universal Champion, or if not with this time, the WWE champion in the future, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
This is Brian Adenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
So do you think WWE would benefit from a G1 style tournament? Because I asked because of the return of the King of the Ring tournament this week, which they had 8 people from Raw and 8 people from SmackDown, but they had them in, like, if you had a block of The Miz, Ricochet, Alexander, Samoa Joe, Drew, McIntyre, Corbin, Zayn and Cesaro, you could have some amazing matches every week.
You could certainly do it. It's doable. I mean, as you just said, you've got 200 odd wrestlers on the roster. You know, you've got the network, and you can do, you can be so creative. You could have, you know, King of the Ring matches over a particular period of, you know, period of time, and you could have them at live events, what could be recorded specifically for the network to make people watch it. You know, you've got, they can do it. I mean, like, they've done the Cruiserweight Classic, what they did in 2016 was phenomenal. I couldn't even believe that was a WWE tournament.
I'm so surprised that's never come back. That was probably my favourite tournament ever. Maybe.
Yeah, so. Like that was
the only thing with the Cruiserweight Classic, though, is they have done Cruiserweight tournaments to get to this number one contender.
Yeah.
For the Cruiserweight title at WrestleMania. So they have done a quote unquote Cruiserweight Classic. But
that was
just
on 205 Live, though, wasn't the Cruiserweight Classic?
Yeah, but just not with outside Cruiserweights. It's been with, obviously, people in the company and stuff. Hmm. So, just Yeah, just in terms of G1, just saying what Stephen was saying to echo it, really. It would work if it was on TV plus house shows and is recorded especially for the network and stuff. But I don't think if it was over, like, what was it, 30-odd days, maybe?
Yeah, it's like 30 days, a month, isn't it, basically?
Yeah.
They wouldn't have to. They could just have it over 7 weeks, don't you? Just have a league structure.
There's no way they could have a Japan schedule.
Not Japan schedule, but they could have it over 7 weeks, have the final at Hell in the Cell, and then the winner takes on the champion at Survivor Series.
You could even just have the final separate. You could even just have it as its own entity and just say that these guys are going to, you know, be part of a tournament, and then you could just make it like the G1 if you were really thinking about it, rather than the King of the Ring itself. And you could even have the tournament, just the two leagues. A network event, the King of the Ring finals, and then you could have, you know, basically the original pay-per-view concept, but over a sustained period of time. So instead of it just being a one-night show, you could have it over several weeks. They've got the, you know, they've got the resources and the ability to do it. Fair enough. You know, it'd mean that there'd be certain wrestlers who would... You've got to think about what stars you'd be putting in, but think about how you could, you know, like what the G1... What I love about the G1 is that they do actually, when it's done right, some stars do break out of it and become huge names in New Japan, like Tomohiro Ishii and, you know, Juice Robinson, who showed just how skilled he was as a singles wrestler. And it was where... without just how incredible Kenny Omega can be in, you know, singles match after singles match, just incredible work. So it can be, you know, it can be done. It's just making sure that you find the right people who you're not cutting into the Raw and SmackDown roster. But, you know, I feel it would be a really exciting thing for them to do, but it's just whether they would have the schedule and have the balls to be able to do it, really, because it's up to them at the end of the day.
And the thing is with that as well, Steve, you could probably mix NXT, SmackDown and Raw and NXT, and that'd be a good use of all four brands. Say, take, how many people are in the G1? Is it 16?
It's 20, it's, 20 in the G1. It was
20 up this time, wasn't it? It must be
20 because it was over.
Yeah.
18 days, and then the finals on the 19th. So, yeah, so it'd be 9 matches.
Yeah, 20. Yeah.
Okay, so if you've got 20 people, and it's 5 people per brand, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, NXT UK. And that way, you're not filling the roster to the point where you can't have a Raw and SmackDown, or NXT UK, or an NXT. You're just taking those people out of the roster.
Yeah.
And putting them on live events, and yeah, in that instance, I think it could work. It doesn't thin out the roster because you're taking 5 of each, and obviously you've got so many, you know, hundreds of people in the company. It'd be really cool. I mean, if it was all on the network, for example, it'd be a reason to sign up. I would probably have it. You know, you could have it as a dark match on after Raw and after SmackDown. I went 205 live as well. Forgot about them. Have a couple of people from the different brands and stuff, and maybe even integrate, you know, women wrestlers in it as well. Just make it pro wrestling and intergender, because then you can kind of have half 205 live with a few women's wrestlers as well. I think it could work if you put it on the network, taped it separate to Raw and SmackDown and NXT and 205 live, or maybe as part of that, just as a separate thing. But you couldn't do it where they're wrestling every day on their schedule. I don't think that would work. So that's the kind of concept I was taking for the G1. But if it was a tournament spread out over the 7 weeks that Chris said and stuff, it would work. It's kind of like how the King of the Ring is, in all honesty.
Yeah,
there was 2 matches last night. There's going to be 2 matches tonight, where we thought maybe all 4 would be done.
Yeah.
For the first round, so that means that's going to last at least 2 weeks to get us into the next round. And the really interesting thing, I don't know if you guys know this, is it is going to be Raw versus SmackDown Live to crown King of the Ring.
Yeah.
There's going to be finals on Raw, finals on SmackDown, and then the ultimate final to produce the King of the Ring between the two brands. So I'm guessing this they'll get a title shot, I reckon, and I'm guessing that'll take place at Survivor Series because that's a co-branded pay-per-view, isn't it?
No. This is a this is all to get Corbin back on TV. I told you.
Corbin was I don't know.
Corbin has not been seen since the last show.
Did anyone watch Raw last night? Am I going to be spoiling anything?
Well, for me. We've had this conversation before. Situation with Raw is.
I don't watch it.
I've
read the results.
You read the results, so you know about Corbin from last night, don't you? No, they're in a tag match.
Yeah.
And he took the fall.
Yes, so he's going to win the tournament?
Yeah. if he wins the tournament, I'd honestly think I'll give up on WWE.
This is all to get Corbin back on TV. They just needed a reason for Corbin to come back to TV after his loss to
Seth. No. You've had your Constable, you've retired Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
If he wins this, Drew McIntyre wins this and finally gets his title shot that he's been deserved now for the last year. That's the best way to do it.
Past 5 years or whatever you want to say.
But I mean, he's come back and he's been a machine for the last year. That's what I'm talking about. He's really, really stepped up.
Yeah.
In the main matches, been the guy for the last year, and they just once again pull the trigger on him. I don't want it to go against him when they don't. Him versus Seth Rollins, for example, at Survivor Series, or against Kofi Kingston if we're doing branded and stuff, and then he wins the title would be huge. That's what I'm going with. I'll take Drew McIntyre winning it, but if it's Baron Corbin and
Shane's gonna screw KO in the final.
We've had to sit through 6 months of Baron Corbin against Seth Rollins, and that's kind of depleted Seth Rollins' character. It's done what for Becky Lynch facing Lacey Evans? You know what I mean? No, they can't make that mistake again.
You're giving them too much credit. This is Vince wants to get Baron back on TV. Give him a reason. Get a bit more dickhead-ish. Like, I'm the king. and he'll just add to that David Starr-esque entrance he started to get.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Ring of Honor's on the internet, isn't it, Stephen?
Yeah.
Fight TV.
Yeah. I think I might start getting back into that if that happens.
Download on Fight TV. Not the Fighters app.
Yeah.
It's on there for free.
It's free, their episodes are free. And the live shows as well, the TV show as well, so it's a slightly different setup now, so it works a bit more, it's a bit more sort of fast-paced and energetic than what it was, and it works more for me, so it's got some good feedback I've read online, so definitely give it a try. You know, it's better than, like I said before, I'd rather watch an hour, fair enough, Ring of Honor might not be what it was, but I'd rather watch an hour of Ring of Honor and enjoy it than watch 3 hours of Bloody Raw and feel like
I haven't watched SmackDown for years. A full episode.
Then I've been positive in pro wrestling in terms of messages, so I kind of have to watch Raw now. It was a good show last night, in all honesty. If you look at the tweets that I put out and stuff, there wasn't much wrong with it. There was a lot more positive than negative on last night's Raw without putting spoilers and stuff.
Maybe I've become cynical to it, unfortunately, after, you know, lots of years of people not being given the opportunity what they deserve and the triggers and just the, you know, talking over wrestling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then when you've got all this other stuff I want to watch, is independent wrestling, which I enjoy, and, you know, international stuff, I'd much rather just watch that because I know I enjoy it more, you know, so that's...
Well, it's the reason why I started following British wrestling.
Yeah.
Because... We got a bit tiresome in the early 2000s and stuff. So I see where you're coming from.
I would also recommend, I watched the first episode of OWE on Fight Network. That was excellent. Yeah. I'd recommend that.
Sheamus promotion.
Yeah. That was really, really fun.
Four Fight Network was cancelled in the UK.
The Fight App.
The Fight App?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
F-A-I-T.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No, I thought we were talking about what we were talking about yesterday.
No, it's not been cancelled. The channel...
Looking for a channel.
Looking for a channel. Because their channel's been terminated.
Hello, everyone. This is the interview queen, Alicia Tu, and you're listening to me on Broken But Glorious.
Huge thanks for joining us, Steve.
That's great. Thank you.
Do you want to promote anything before we go?
Yeah, just if you want to follow me on Twitter with some see my wrestling chat, then you can find me at SteveJ215. And my own podcast with my co-host Aaron is available at Brit Wrestle Chat. So you can find that on Twitter as well. And finally, I'm part of the Wrestling Estate, where I write journalistic articles and contribute to our regular roundtable. So you can find that on Twitter as well at Wrestling Est. So it's great. It's been another great chat, and thank you again for having me.
Oliver, do you want to promote your books?
Yeah, I can do. It's my first book is a British wrestling book. Covers the time period of 2001 to 2007, and that's called A Fan's Perspective: One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. My second book is a WWE-based book covering 2016. Raw, SmackDown Live, NXT, any network specials as well. And my third book is The Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare, which covers the big four during and aftermath of my lifelong dream, WrestleMania 24. I meet my childhood hero, Bret the Hitman Hart. I fantasy book Paul London to the main event. And I... look at the women's wrestling evolution revolution that we're living through in 2019 and see where that's kind of began, and also give my thoughts and feelings on a few of the top wrestling matches of that year. And they're available on paperback and Kindle on Amazon, or you can get them signed at a cheaper price, half price on the Amazon price, and that's A Fan's Perspective .bigcartel.com. And if you want it on Kindle, that's available on Amazon. And if you've got Kindle Unlimited, you can read the books for free, and I get paid per page as you read in the first sitting.
Amazing. And we also
and in terms of my social media stuff, if I can be allowed, Twitter.com/Brumiel, Instagram.com/Brumiel, and my Facebook page is Facebook.com/A Fan's Perspective UK.
Nice. We also have a partnership with Powerslam.tv where you can get a month's free access to over 140 promotions in over 20 countries, contributing over 6,000 hours of content, including podcast favourites, Riptide and North Wrestling, as well as Progress, Evolve, PWX, Shine, and dozens of others by using the promo code BROKEN3. We have plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. We've got Kanji this Friday, got Paradox's Connor Coyle on next week. Next week's show is going to be fun. We've got two of the finest Brit Rest stars, Shreddy Breck and Benji, are coming on. We're going to discuss the state of British wrestling at the moment, plus we're going to discuss what fictional characters would make good wrestlers. So that's going to be a fun interview. And then we've got part two of Pablo's epic interview with the Pearl River Powerhouse and with Johnson. I'm looking forward to part two. So if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter, BBCWPod, and check out our website, BrokenButGlorious.com. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.